You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Do you like chainsaws?
They're fun. Is that fun? An appropriate word to use?
They're fun. They're also useful tools, but it's one of many tools in a collection of tools used to serve those in need, especially when someone is recovering from a disaster. And how does LCMS disaster response in many teams across the United States, well, really around the globe, how do they respond to disaster? And why is it important to be properly prepared to respond to a disaster? We're going to talk about that today. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, we have quite the crew. We have several members of the LERT Training Committee, the Reverend Michael Meyer. He's Director of Training for LCMS Disaster Response and Managing Director for the LCMS Office of National Mission, and bringing with him a great crew. We're going to introduce all of them in just a moment as well. Pastor Meyer, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
In studio with us, we have Chris Schultz. He's a LERT Training Committee member and District Disaster Response Coordinator for the LCMS Missouri District. Chris, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having us.
And also joining us online, Bryce Kramer. He's LERT Training Committee member and chainsaw trainer, basic LERT trainer. Bryce, thanks for joining us today. And the Reverend Trey Fissler. He is LERT Training Committee member and District Disaster Response Coordinator for the LCMS Mid-South District. Pastor Fissler, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we have quite the crew. It takes a lot of people to respond to disasters, lots of volunteers, lots of leadership and training. And we're going to talk about training and what's involved in that training and some recent updates as well today. But before we get into all of that, there are some letters, because Lutherans like to use letters and acronyms for things. LERT, L-E-R-T, is what we see on all this disaster response information. What is LERT, Pastor Meyer?
Yeah, LERT is Lutheran Early Response Teams. And I realized that really, I should just let you talk the whole time, because you're doing such a fantastic job kind of introducing each of us and getting into the topic here and talking about the work of LERT, Lutheran Early Response Teams. It formed out of the process and the desire for Lutherans across the entire United States to kind of come together in a collaborative way to work alongside each other and help victims and survivors of disasters. So what that means is that LERT is really a program and a process. So it is both of those things. It's a training curriculum. It's also the process for how we have determined to function together as a church body, a collection of 5,000 congregations, and at this point, 10,000 volunteers and growing every single day, of how we're going to do this work together safely and efficiently.
I just really want to know if anyone has a chainsaw with them right now, because we're talking about chainsaws. No, there's no chainsaws in the studio. I'm a little disappointed.
Not in the studio, but maybe in the Bronco.
Yeah, we've got one out in the trailer as well.
Okay, so we got to go outside for that.
We could have used it a few years ago when we overhauled the studio.
Oh, that would have been
because
fun.
It was a very large desk in here that
yeah,
we had to remove.
We could have used that.
I think we did use a chainsaw, actually.
Oh, man. All jokes aside, though, you guys do really important work when responding to disasters. Why did each of you become a LERT volunteer? I'm really curious.
So I had not ever heard of LERT 7 years ago, had no idea it existed. And when I was introduced to it, I did the research. I looked it up online. And what attracted me was the organization that it brought and the training programs that it had and the big important factor of safety. Mm-hmm. I was really attracted to that, having come from the telephone company and working on line crews and everything.
Yeah.
We preach safety all the time in the first aid training. And when I saw all that, I thought, oh, this might be something I'd like to do. And it's not just chainsaws. There's a huge amount of other things that LERT teams do. And all of that together, it just keeps getting better every year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Bryce?
Yeah, I was very fortunate to have a father that actually at one time in his life wanted to be an LCMS pastor. That didn't work out for him, but he was very active in his church. And when he retired, he was involved in Labors for Christ. So he set a great example for volunteerism and doing mercy work for others and assisting others in times of need. And in 2015, I was congregation chairman and happened to see a note in the, I believe it was in the Reporter, that the disaster response program was giving matching grants for disaster trailers. So I talked to our board and to our pastor, and they all agreed that this was something we need to take on. And so we're very fortunate and blessed to receive one of those trailers, and it's just gone from there.
Pastor Fisler, what about you?
Yeah, my involvement in LIRT, I wish it would have started back in seminary, but I actually didn't know about LIRT back during seminary. It was actually the day before my installation as pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. The day before my installation, we actually had a tornado go through here. It bypassed us up to the northwest, went through Mayfield, Kentucky, which is one of those really well-known tornadoes. It did significant damage through western Kentucky. And so it's not to say my installation was a disaster, but all around it, we had disasters going on. And I'm here, and we start getting calls, and people wanted to know how they could help. And I was in the same boat. I didn't know how we could help. And that was when I got in contact with our DDRC at the time, Janet Simcoe. And she came out and trained us, and we learned all about what it is to be a volunteer through LCMS disaster response. And boy, it skyrocketed from there. There were plenty of areas for us to get involved, and it's been a joy and a journey.
Pastor Fisler, why was that training so valuable to you? Why is proper training a key role in being able to respond effectively to a disaster?
Yeah, absolutely. So after a disaster, oftentimes we say that the second disaster is spontaneous, untrained volunteers. They come in, they have no training with chainsaws. They don't really know what they're walking into. You walk into an area right after a hurricane or tornado, there's power lines down everywhere, and you can't get into neighborhoods. There's dangerous trees, widowmakers, everything. And so this training that we provide gives everyone a baseline of these are the minimum requirements of things that you need to know before you walk into a disaster area. And then, as Chris mentioned earlier, all of the important safety aspects as well. Protocols for how we get in contact with local officials, how we get in contact with our local congregations to make sure that our pastors are okay, the churches are okay, members, and then we work our way out into the community to serve it. And so without that, you know, everything's just kind of haphazard. And like I said, it becomes a second disaster without the training that we have, which gives us a goal and a mission and a mindset for the way in which we can serve our communities.
Bryce, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I heard an example of that last year in Omaha. As you may recall, they were hit by a devastating tornado. I believe it was in April or early May. And they have an organization up there internally in the city. The name actually escapes me right now, but they have something like 10,000 plus volunteers. And so the day after the tornado, they just flocked out into the community and started cutting trees up and didn't have permission. So they were doing just whatever they wished to do. And I had a gentleman tell me he watched a couple of guys cut a tree down, had a rope in it, and all of a sudden he heard some yelling, and the tree went the opposite direction they intended and landed on some guy's truck. So that's what untrained volunteers, that's what can happen. Mm-hmm.
Chris, anything to add to that, the importance of proper training to serve effectively?
Yes. A good example of this is the recent May 16th tornado that took out 185 trees at the seminary. Mm-hmm. The next morning, I had 30 trained LIRT volunteers show up to help from 6 different states. And I knew right off the bat that all of them were trained the same way. Mm. And after 1 or 2 sentences talking with each one individually, I knew what they could and couldn't do. And we got started working just so quickly because all of this prior training that all of us have gone through. So it was it was a really good case study for why we do training.
So let's talk more about that training. What does LIRT training typically include, Chris?
So the basic LIRT training has an element of theology of the cross, why we do what we do, how to talk to survivors, you know, how not to talk to survivors, what not to say. And then a lot of the basic stuff of how a LIRT team is put together and, you know, how we are called out to go do things and, you know, just the organization. The real training comes in the OJT. So typically when we set up, a training, I have two or three people that have a couple years of experience. And I always put all the new LIRT volunteers with them, and they mentor, and they know they're going to mentor. So just the simple stuff of mucking out a basement, you know, it's really a simplified thing, but you have to kind of know what steps to take and having a mentor and five willing people. And that's typically a lot of the training that gets done is OJT.
Bryce, anything to add?
Yeah. So I try to do in my basic trainings is answer the questions that some of the people in the audience may have because they've never been on a disaster or a deployment in response to one. And so they may have questions like, you know, where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to shower? Who's going to feed me? Those kinds of things like that. So there's always the mechanics, the how-to of how to clean up and do the muck outs and the tree removal. But there's also the question of, how am I going to be taken care of while I'm there? You know, am I going to be sleeping on a floor? Do I have to rent a hotel room? You know, so I try to answer all those questions because that's one of the obstacles I've found to many people of not being able to go out their first time there. There's too many unknowns that they're not sure of. So I try to answer those for them so they know what to expect when they do go out.
Pastor Fissler?
One of the other things that we discuss in our training, our basic LIRT training as well, is congregational preparedness, which, like I said earlier, my congregation was not prepared to respond to that tornado back in December of 2021. So that's one thing that we talk about. And the question is asked is your congregation ready to respond to a disaster? And oftentimes the answer is no. And whether that's in things within the congregation, you know, all of our documents, all of our member records, are those things backed up somewhere? As well as personnel, do we have people in the congregation that are willing and ready to respond and set up a deployment if that was needed? Do we have a protocol for how to take care of our members and check up on them after a storm? And, you know, if the answer is no, I'm not prepared for this, this is a perfect opportunity to ask one of our LIRT trainers to come into your congregation and teach a LIRT class.
We're going to learn more about LIRT training and some updates to LIRT training as well, what LIRT volunteers do when responding to a disaster with LCMS Disaster Response. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we are learning about LCMS Disaster Response and LIRT Training, which stands for Lutheran Early Response Teams. Did I get that right?
You did. Spot on.
Very good.
Nice job, Andy.
LIRT. Thank you. I've been paying attention to the letters. We've been talking about the training and what's included in the training. And I know we've mentioned chainsaws and cutting down fallen trees, things like that. But what are some of the typical roles that a LIRT volunteer might have responding to a disaster? We'll start with you, Chris.
So one of the main words that we all use daily on a deployment is the word flexibility. So the main purpose of the key role of a LIRT volunteer is to do whatever needs to be done for the sake of that survivor. And that could include just standing there listening to them talk. And that turns out to be the most important role. The other roles are, you know, there's a role of a person who watches everyone for safety and makes sure that everyone's kind of not getting, you know, too overheated or anything like that. And then we have a couple other roles. We have a site supervisor, and that's the person that wears the dreaded orange vest and gets asked all of the questions. And if anything goes awry, that's the person that's got to figure out how to do it. But all the other alert volunteers that are there, or they that are there, do whatever it takes. A good example is we were up in Iowa and we were told to go take a tree down in the backyard of a house. When we got there, she said, "I really don't care about that tree. I need a new deck that the tree fell on." So we went to Lowe's and we bought a bunch of tools and wood, and we did a deck. So we're real flexible. So the role changes on every deployment.
Wow. Pastor Fissler, anything to add to that in terms of the various roles that LERT volunteers might take during the responding to a disaster?
Yeah, one of the bigger ones that I'm starting to learn about is we have LERT volunteers out there that have considerable amount of training in food preparation. And I know that recently at Concordia Seminary, they had Jambalaya Fest, which is actually one of our LERT teams that goes into disaster areas to feed communities that might not have the ability to, they don't have power, they probably don't have any food left in the fridge and things like this, and or ways to warm it, heat it, cook. And so that's one of the other ways in which our volunteers get involved is food prep and feeding mass amounts of food to communities that are really hungry.
Bryce, anything to add to those roles that a LERT volunteer might take?
I think there's a role that each and every one that goes out to be the hand, they are the hands and feet of Christ, serving those in times of need. And I think that's something that we try to remind each other in our opening devotions every day, is that we are there as servants of Christ. We are there in place of Him at that point in time and bringing mercy to them in a time where they really, really need to know that the Lord still does love them and that they are very important to Him and that He's taking care of them through us. And that's one of the roles I look at why I'm there is I'm there to take the love of God to them during this tough time.
Pastor Meyer, how long has the LERT training been in use?
That is an excellent question. in various forms, it's been in use over 20 years. So really, kind of since Hurricane Katrina is when this program in a national sense kind of started formulating and coming together. Before that, we had kind of disparate groups here and there who would want to do something, and there might be a little training that they had done for their own people locally, but it really didn't exist on a national level until about, Katrina was in 2005, so this is the 20th anniversary now for Hurricane Katrina. In 2006, the Synod called the first director of LCMS Disaster Response, and that individual was tasked with responding and shaping the response to Katrina, but also developing this national program that we essentially have today. So he took a lot of the different trainings that existed at the time, kind of standardized it, brought it all into one training, and we then at that point started pushing things out. Now, as it exists today, it's really been since 2014. That's when we did the first major revisions to what this individual had put together. We streamlined it. We kind of made it look a lot more pleasing to the eye and for the participant. We had standardized training that were consistent from one trainer to the next and one year to the next. So that was 2014, and over the last couple of years, we had recognized that the growth of the program had just started exploding, right? And as a result of that, we started having to kind of standardize more processes and procedures than we had before. So that includes our software tool for managing volunteers and those kinds of things, all have developed since 2014. And so as we started looking at all these different growth areas that had occurred in the program, we said, well, we really need to give this a refresh again, which is what we did. And we called together a group of individuals. We didn't want to just have this come from our office. The last one really did just come from our office. It was me sitting at a computer with those things and editing it and going through it. And while it was good and it was for the time, but we wanted something that was going to be kind of shaped by our teams. So we gathered about six or seven various individuals from across the Synod, three of whom are here today, Trey, Bryce, and Chris, from Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky. And we brought in somebody from Nebraska and somebody from Kansas and somebody from Texas and from all these different areas to help us shape what this was going to be by committee. And so really, that's kind of how this process came up. And we took the existing training and we kind of cut and paste. We flip-flopped and rearranged things and we took things out and put things in. And really, I think in the end, what we have is just a fantastic, what we can call new and improved. It's both improved over what was there, and yet there's enough new that we can say that this is really, really going to, I think, be a blessing to our church body for years to come.
If I might piggyback onto that, what Reverend Michael said, Meyer said, you know, the organization has really grown in the last number of years. And as organizations grow, they also change a little bit. So I think the need to update our training to more fit where the organization has grown. When this the original training was done, we didn't have a web portal. We didn't have the internet access as we do today. And I think we realized the need to really, in our training, we needed to include all those parts of it so that the volunteers know what's out there for them to use.
Any particular key updates that you think were significant in the most recent updates, Bryce?
No, and as Pastor Meyer indicated, it wasn't a total redo. It was just let's take it and massage it and bring it up to date to what do we really look like today? Let's make the training look like the organization. So I don't think there was any really major thing or change that took place.
Pastor Fistler, what would you say is expected of participants in the training, in LERT training? What's expected? If I sign up to go to a training, what do you expect me to do when I get there?
Right. Yeah. Great question. So one of the things also with the update as well is that we've actually condensed the material and taken out maybe repetitious things that we can actually complete this class in about 3 hours time. And so what's expected of the volunteers? Well, to come and sit through a class with us for 3 hours. This is a very incarnational thing. And the discussion was, is this something that we can do online? Or is this something that we should do in person with people that we will be serving with? And the answer was obviously the latter one, is that we are a very incarnational church body, that we believe in the real presence of Christ, that he is here with us as we serve our neighbor in need. So to be present, just as Christ himself is present with us, to be there ready to learn, and also to be what's expected to be in prayer about where you can best serve and use the skills which God has given to you. And then with it also, to be open and willing to serve in new capacities where you may not otherwise be familiar, and that you might be willing to learn in those ways. You know, as a pastor, I didn't expect that I would at one time be a chainsaw instructor, but that's what I do now. And I love it. I love it.
But here we are.
Here we are. So what's expected if I were, I have not gone through a training yet. And every
shame.
Time I know,
shame on you, Sarah.
I know so much shame right now. I just outed myself. But if I go through a training, which at some point soon, hopefully that will happen, what would be expected of me once I am trained, Chris?
So there are several different opportunities for each person that becomes a LERT volunteer. And the expectation is that you try a couple of different things before you decide what you want to specialize in. I always recommend to the students that just sign up and go along and just watch and participate. And if you don't like mucking out, then don't do that. Go to a different, you know, deployment. So my expectation is that you go to a couple of different ones and just participate.
Mm-hmm. What what's required? Like, I assume there's an age minimum, things like that. What?
Yes.
What requirements are there?
So it's 18 to, you know, 95 or 96, somewhere in there. And
you cut it off at 95 or 96.
Oh, man.
Well, we just have conversations. So.
Okay.
But we also have a new youth piece that's 14 to 17.
Oh.
That's relatively new. And several churches are embracing that as their youth program. And that's pretty exciting. But basically, it's about your physical abilities, not your age. Mm-hmm. And we have people that are retired and in great shape, and they work right alongside of the 28-year-olds and sometimes put them to shame. So no problem whatsoever.
There's always roles that they can take. And Chris has talked about a couple of times about those that are willing to sit and listen. You know, quite often these people have been through a devastating event, and they need somebody to get that off their chest to. And so if you're a great listener, but you can't pick up a chainsaw or pick up a limb, that's all right. We'll find something for you to help those people.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like people who have a heart for serving people after something very difficult, people who work well in crisis situations.
Seems, yes, yes.
That seems to be a good qualification.
Definitely.
Where can we find trainings that are happening or more information about becoming Alert Volunteer, Mr. Meyer?
Yeah, so you can go to our volunteer portal. It's a website, lcms-alert.org. So lcms-lert.org. That's our volunteer portal. If somebody creates an account there, they can fan the districts that they want to receive automatic emails from that say they're in Missouri and they want to hear and about what's going on here. They'll fan Missouri. If they're in Illinois, they'll do the same thing and fan Illinois. And when there's a training or a deployment that's scheduled, they'll get an email with information on how they can join, how they can register and mark their spot in the system for that and save it for themselves. I do also want to kind of point out, like, this is while the changes weren't exhaustive to the new alert manual, there is a much increased emphasis on our alert volunteers engaging and exercising these skills outside of those times of disaster, right? So 10 years ago, a group might go through a training and then they would just maybe kind of sit around and wait for something that Lord willing doesn't ever happen, right? That we pray that we don't want these disasters to befall us. So they might be there 2-3 years and kind of become disengaged. And also that's not really healthy for their congregation either. The mindset, of course, is that our congregation should be centers of yes, the proclamation of the word and the administration of the sacraments, but also a center that of mercy that flows forth from that altar on a weekly basis, a daily basis. And so we encourage all of our alert teams to engage in those local acts of mercy as well, that the alert team can certainly spearhead. They can be a part of that. They can exercise and hone their skills, and then not be waiting for the next disaster, but prepared for the next one, so that they can best serve the neighbor in those times. So that's, I would say, one of the biggest new emphases in the training and in the manual, that if you have been through alert training before and you go through it again now this year, that's going to be a much larger emphasis than it has been in the past.
Always being prepared and practicing what you've been learning.
Yes.
Great. lcms-lert, that's lcms-lert.org. You can find out more there about upcoming LERT training and keep in touch with what's going on in your district and in your area as well. Joining us today, the Reverend Michael Meyer, Director of Training for LCMS Disaster Response and Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. Pastor Meyer, thank you so much for bringing your crew today.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's been great fun.
Chris Schultz, LERT Training Committee and Disaster Response District Disaster Response Coordinator for LCMS Missouri District. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bryce Kramer, LERT Training Committee and Chainsaw Trainer, Basic LERT Trainer. Bryce, thanks for being with us today. And the Reverend Trey Fissler, LERT Training Committee and District Disaster Response Coordinator for LCMS Mid-South District. Pastor Fissler, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.